Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start reading from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 7, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Verse 10, nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This is a passage that is listed on our schedule that I asked our attendants to read. It's something that I won't be spending too much time in retrospect on this passage, but it is a good passage to think about in relation to our theme, as sojourners in a foreign land, because this is a passage talking about the people of Israel traveling through Egypt, or the wilderness, right? Traveling out of Egypt, going into the promised land. And they were in that great wilderness as sojourners, but many of them did not please God. In fact, only a handful was God really pleased with. So what I want to focus on is verse 10. Now, starting from verse 6 through 10, Paul is talking about certain incidences in the history of the Israelites that really wound up angering God. Right? And then so many of their bodies wind up being scattered in the wilderness. And among these incidences is verse 10. Right? Nor complain, as some of them also complain, and were destroyed by the destroyer. This can refer to a couple of incidences. The one that I want to spend more time on is the story of the 12 spies. And not only that, there is only a couple of people, right? A couple of sojourners here that really was able to please God. One of which was Caleb. And he is a really wonderful example for all of us as sojourners, as Christians, because he teaches us many, many good things that please God. In fact, let's read how God described Caleb. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. These are the words of the Lord God, right, who personally described his servant Caleb as somebody who had a different spirit. And as youth coordinators, as youth servant leaders, as Christians in this world, in this wilderness that we live in, we can do very well by learning from Caleb. Right? He had a different spirit. I'd like to share three qualities, right? Three different attitudes and spirits that he had for our mutual encouragement. The first is that, you know, he had a spirit that did not conform, right? Even to his peers, right? And that's the incident that we're talking about. Let's turn back to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. From the beginning of this chapter, you can see that there were men that were sent out to spy the land of Canaan, which they were just about to enter. And this is just about their second year into their journey in the wilderness. And these people were leaders. Right? They were the heads of their tribes. So they were respectable, reputable. I'm sure people respected them. They were people of influence. Now, let's read verse 26. Verse 26, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Right. So you can see when they came back, there were a group of spies that spoke out first. They started out by saying some of the good qualities of the land, but then their conclusion was that it's still very difficult to be able to inherit and conquer this land. Right? And often the conclusion is the lasting impression that people are going to remember. Right? So there's a gap between verse 29 and 30, right? Because for me, I take the people that's mentioned in verse 30 as the congregation. Right? So after the spies spoke, you know, it's pretty clear, at least from my opinion, the people started to murmur, started to talk about, "Oh man, this is so difficult. Look at all these enemies that we have to face, all these different types of people, even the descendants of Anak, who are reportedly giants," right? So Caleb, though, he didn't conform. Right? Even though they had the first word, even though the people already started to be moved, he didn't conform to them. Instead, he quieted the people in verse 30, right? And said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Right. Even you can see that this happened during probably one afternoon. Okay, according to verse chapter 14, verse 1, it says that all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. It's possible, right? I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly, but it's possible that a night passed even too, then they continued to have this conversation the next day, right? So even a whole evening of probably, I'm sure if it really a night passed, it must have been very tense, right? The people, they're all chattering and saying, oh, should we go in? Should we not go in? And there's much tension in the camp. But the next, if it really was the next day, you could see still, you know, I'm sure maybe they didn't get much sleep, right? Because it's a concern. But you can see in verse 6, chapter 14, verse 6, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, right? Because the people continued to say, no, why did you bring us here, right? Isn't it better to return to Egypt? And they started to select leaders to go back to Egypt already. So even in the face of this, Caleb and Joshua, what did they say? They said in verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. So you can see, they were trying to encourage and instill faith in their group, in the whole people, especially, I'm sure they're trying to convince the other leaders and the spies too, right? Because they were the most influential. So we know that people in general, we're social creatures. There's in any group setting, there's a type of dynamic that happens. Sometimes this dynamic is good, right? Sometimes it is an atmosphere that really pleases God. Sometimes, on the other hand, it's something that may go against the very will of God. And this can happen even in the church, in the people, in the community of faith. So if you think back to your local churches too, I'm sure, you know, think back to your youth groups back there too. There is a dynamic there that you see. There's a type of inertia that you may see too. It may not necessarily be a good thing, right? Sometimes what I see in certain churches is the youth group, the youth in general, they tend to, when they come to church on Sabbath, they tend to kind of just stick by themselves, right? Chat with each other. If there are visitors to the church, newcomers, it seems like rarely, right? Sometimes in these certain churches, rarely are youths proactively greeting the newcomers, right? Making people feel welcome. Instead, the youth just congregate to the people they're used to talking to every single week. And then you have that little click, and you know the Sabbath passes and kind of repeats itself the next time. Right? That sometimes is a dynamic we see in the church. But if you see this or any other type of dynamic in your local church that isn't pleasing to God, right, that really is not, doesn't glorify God, right? Then we have to be willing to not conform to that, but be willing to set an example, right? Not only for your peer group, for the believers in general, right? To show that, you know, actually the thing that we're doing, and even speak out if necessary, right? What we're doing here is not pleasing to God, right? We're being more selfish than we are caring for other people. Same thing can apply on an individual level, right? Just because you see other peers, other youths doing certain things, right? You might observe it on Facebook, you might see it in person. It doesn't mean that it's right either, right? Right? You might see people, you see the different TV shows they might watch. You see the media they take. You see maybe the people, the way they dress, right? Maybe their Sabbath attendance is not that good. Maybe it's about their attitude in serving God too. All of these, if you know it's wrong, right? And if we if we know it's against the principles of the Bible, then we can't conform to that. We can't just say, oh, because so-and-so has done it, then that means it should be fine for me too. We need to have this spirit that is different, a spirit that is not willing to conform, even to the community of faith when they are in the wrong. We need to instead think about, well, what does God think about this? And then conform to that, right? Submit to that. So that is one of the first spirits and attitudes Caleb had when he was journeying in this wilderness that really stands out, that really is something we can learn from. The second thing, right, is that he had a spirit of love and unity, right, even though he was right. Now the danger of, let's say, you do recognize there are some incorrect things that your peers are doing, right? And then you, indeed, maybe like you really, you don't participate, you stand out, you're the outsider. The danger in that, one of the temptations that can happen in that, is we can then develop a holier-than-thou attitude, a self-righteous attitude. And then we might, either subconsciously or intentionally, we start to distance ourselves from people who we have deemed unspiritual. And indeed, maybe they really are unspiritual. So that's a danger too, right? We must insist on what's right, but just because something's right doesn't necessarily mean that then we depart from the people of faith. So for Caleb, and also including Joshua, the people were going to stone them, right, according to chapter 14, verse 10. And they were right. They knew exactly what the will of God was, that they should go in and they should fight. Like, this is God's promise. This is what we should do right now. Right? They were, from a completely objective point of view, they were completely right in God's eyes. But they did not separate themselves. Right? They didn't just say, hey, okay, our tribes, we're going in. And then leave everyone else. Right? Instead, what we see is that they, eventually what happened, right, is God spoke up and said that you guys are going to wander in the wilderness for until this generation passes away. And so Joshua and Caleb then remain with this group, even though they were right, right? They suffered for something they did not commit. They're willing to do that, right? They had a spirit of love and unity, right? So that they remain with the people of God. Right? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. 24, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. 25, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Here, according to this passage, we can see that some parts of the body of Christ indeed will be stronger. Some people will be weaker. Some are more honorable. Some are less honorable. Right? But in terms of stronger and weaker, this is speaking of in terms of faith, right? Of spirituality. Let's say we do know the will of God, right? And let's say we think ourselves to be more spiritual, right? Then we still must remember, right, to bring up and guide the people around us, right? Rather than despise or look down upon them, right? And then have a self-righteous attitude. Because according to this passage, the fact that there are weaker members in the church, it exists. Why? Right? It's because it's then an opportunity that God has created for those who are stronger, right, to show concern. So God has placed this group together, wherever you are in your local churches, together. There are some stronger, some weaker. It's easy to notice those who are weaker, but that's then an opportunity where then we must pour our concern towards. Yeah. So we have to learn from Caleb and also Joshua, right? Don't separate from the group because you know you're right. There's no schism in the body of Christ. But we work together towards that common goal of fulfilling God's will. So, if you remember many of the prayers of the people in the Old Testament, right, people like Nehemiah and Daniel, they were the same, right? They're very spiritual, godly people. In fact, it's hard to even find a weakness in them according to Scripture. But whenever they prayed, they always prayed as if they were with the people, identifying with the weaknesses of the whole body, right? Even though individually, maybe it didn't really actually apply to them. Right? They had a heart of love and unity. The third spirit and attitude of Caleb that I'd like to share is that he had a spirit of strength, right, even into his old age. Let's now turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. 11. As yet I am as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. These are the words of Caleb, almost 45 years later, when he was 85 years old. By this time, the people collectively together had now entered the land of Canaan, and they were conquering the land, right, fighting these wars. And, you know, 85 is already older, much older in age. Even if we might think that, you know, the people living in this biblical time, they might have lived longer and maybe therefore aged a little bit slower. It's still past prime, right? It's still, you're already past your middle age. And yet for Caleb, what was his spirit like? What was his attitude? He was saying that, you know, I'm still as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, right? That Moses sent me to go spy out the land. You know, as my strength was then, so is my strength today for war. And I hope this type of spirit can remain with all of us till our old age, right? Until we breathe our last. That serving God is not just something, we don't take it just as a duty, right? But as a lifestyle. Right? That
is something that we will do until we have no more strength to do. I think in your various local churches, maybe you can see some of these good examples. Personally for me, now a pastor in Flushing Church, there are a couple of members really more advanced in age, some really much older, but their spirit for serving the Lord, for pastoring, visiting members, it's very wonderful, and it's been a great help for me too as try to get to know and pastor the members there. Think about those examples. Think about those servants of God. I'm sure there's many difficulties along the way and maybe frustrations. Right? I'm sure Caleb also went through that. Right? And a long period of seeing God's will revealed. But even in his old age, advanced years, he still wanted to do what he could to accomplish God's will. So, sometimes I have spoken to some ministers more advanced in age, or some who are already retired too. And the ones that, many of them, right, they have that really pure and good heart that they want to serve God until the very end. Right? Retirement as a pastor is just a retirement from the organization, but that does not mean it's the end of one's service to God. Right? So their heart is that they still want to continue to do whatever that helps the church, the local church, until God takes them away. Right? And I hope that that type of spirit is something that we also internalize. Right? We're very young now, and I hope that we can see that this life, this service to God, it's a marathon, right? It's a whole journey. It's a lifestyle that that's natural because God has shown us so much love, and therefore we want to show this love back to Him. So Caleb was among those few sojourners in the wilderness that really pleased God, right? You can see really through his character, his spirit, it's very, very wonderful for us as young servants. Now we're going to come up and pray. I hope that we can think about these qualities of Caleb in our prayer, that we stand up for what's right, not conforming to even our peers in the church if they're in the wrong, and then of course maintain love and unity. Always try to keep the body together, and then finally have this determination to serve God to the very end. Let's now come up and pray together.